Welcome back to hour number two of the Clubhouse. The password to get in, 639-4900, or toll free, 888-639-4900. Here's your host, Kyle Bailey.
Welcome back to the Clubhouse. Hour number two, Kyle Bailey, Danny Noakes, Christian Four, and now Keith Weltons of Ameriprise Financial in Radford. What was this about?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Sorry. Is that not for on-air purposes?
No.
Okay. You love your in-laws.
I do. I'm extremely lucky.
I know you are. You're extremely lucky that I didn't hear whatever you said.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got Keith Weltons of Ameriprise Financial in Radford. Every Tuesday, we do sports business. What's up?
Not much, man.
No.
We want to talk about coaching.
You want to talk about coaching?
Yeah, I'm extremely happy with the team I've put together.
Yeah?
Yeah, our first...
I don't think that's what we want to talk about.
Well, our first game is tonight. It's at 6:15.
Your men's league team?
At the rec center. No, my 5th, 6th, and 7th graders.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't get an invite to come back and play.
And I'm kind we haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
Yeah. I have put together a pretty stellar team, though.
Yeah?
With a good budget.
Full of 5th, 6th, and 7th graders?
That's it, man. Yeah. There's some tears out there.
Are you the crazy sports dad?
Huh?
You crazy sports dad?
No.
They running suicides?
No, they were all like, what position am I playing? I'm like, well, currently you're playing out of position. So please go guard that guy. Yeah. I mean, that is the number one question. Am I a four? I'm like, dude, you're like guarding two. I don't care. Guard that guy, though, but he's making you look silly.
Yeah, guard somebody, kid.
Yeah. Practice? Come on, man. We're talking practice. Guard that guy.
I would love to see Keith Weltons on a basketball floor with a bunch of preteens. Oh, man, that would be fun.
I sit there. I wear the power tie. I sit there. And, man, I actually wear the floor out with my leather soled shoes.
You better not be lying. You have to wear a tie to games.
I wear this. I go just like this.
Just shirt and tie.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Wear a sweater vest, too.
No, I don't do that.
Please?
No, it is funny, though, because the kids go I had one of the parents the other day. They said, they all call you sir. And I was like, well, yeah, wear the tie.
I look like Jim Trestle. Of course
yeah.
They call me sir.
It's like, I'm in charge. I'm wearing the tie. So, yeah, it's great. We have big news about the coaching.
Thanks.
A lot of money got thrown, put out there as far as...
Is that about what you expected? 3.2 escalates to 3.65?
Yeah, I actually, I will tell you this. I started to look into the deal a little bit more, and we don't need to get it wonky, but I will say this. I think all parties got a really good deal out of that. And I think it speaks volumes to, when you're trying to read someone's character, when you know they want you. So I really liked that line that was used during the press conference when they said, we determined that we would exclusively date. What they're telling you is that you really want that one person, right? At the same time, when someone tells you that, you then also don't just bend them over. You say, hey, listen, if I'm going to be the top dog in your state, by the way, he is now the highest paid state employee in the entire in Virginia, right? Our new coach.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be the highest paid person in Virginia as far as a state employee, regardless. To then, line up 40 different things that are just unrealistic. To where you can't go into it long term, I think is bad. I think it's a really good long term deal on both ends. It provides a long leash, at least 4 years. I would give it at least five. Where financially, Virginia Tech really won't make a decision to get rid of him. And at the same time, if he's proven his wares in the 6 years, if he decides he wants to go somewhere and he's 45 years old, he can. I think it's a win on both sides, but the reality is I was left watching that press conference with, I think it really is a good fit. And financially, I think Babcock and Hokies made a really good deal.
3.2 for him again. In the first year, it escalates to 3.65 by the end of the deal. They won't make it to the end of that deal.
No.
It's safe to say it'll either be renegotiated or he'll be fired prior to.
Right.
I think that's just typically the way those things go. The
although it's a ransom to cut that deal, 3 or 4 years. I mean, I think you're going to get at least five seasons out of this.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah,
I think more than likely it's going to be a successful marriage here between Fuente and Foster. Mm-hmm. It's hard. I mean, it's going to be hard not to.
UVA saw those. They renegotiated in year three. I will tell you this.
Right.
I don't think that. I think the way that college athletics is going, particularly with these long-term deals with coaches. You're going to make a deal that, that both parties can accept up front. And I really do think that coaches want, you know, when Frank Beamer says, you know, hey, listen, I got everything I could have wanted and more. I was treated so fairly. I had 29 years in one place. I was able to form a family, have kids, raise them, all go to the same school, never had to get up and move. That's worth a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And potentially you're, you know, hitting the reset button, you know, same age, same sort of family dynamics. So I would tell you that the longer-term deal is more important than the, you know, bleed them as dry as you possibly can in year one.
By the way, just quickly, we're talking contracts. This just came across the wire. I'll throw this out there. David Price just agreed to a 7-year, $217 million contract with the Boston Red Sox.
Whew.
You got paid.
Yeah.
You just got paid.
Yeah. Went to a division rival, too.
$30 million a year.
Oh,
that's
man.
Insane. Anyway, so not just the head man's salary.
He would be the top paid player in the state of Virginia.
Yeah, he would be, no doubt. So there's that 3.4 as a pool to pay assistants.
Yeah.
And as of right now, Bud Foster's making about $900,000.
Right.
Which would put him at about 2.5 for the rest of the coaching staff to pay eight other assistants, essentially. So there's a lot of money to go around there. They still have to hire an offensive coordinator. So no word officially yet on Charlie Wiles and Torian Gray, though we expect those two guys to come back. Word is Cornell Brown will not. We've been hearing that for, you know, about a week now. So there's that. Of course, you got to pay the two guys that just showed up yesterday, Hallman Wiggins and James Chabiest. And it's a good salary. That's a good pool for salary for assistants. I mean, that's a lot of money to pay guys that you can bring in. And really, it's a big pay upgrade, a pay raise for those guys, too, coming from Memphis.
It is. And I think that, you know, I'll go back to the deal. When you look at the deal, first of all, I agree with Babcock wanting to make a decision quick. I think it was made in the right time. What you'll find is the longer you wait, not only does the talent pool potentially get smaller, potentially, but, you know, one university paying someone does set the standard for the next because it's a measurable, right? No different than every player that is just signed. So when you're telling me someone just signed for $210 million, you know, the next time you're going to see it is someone's going to get $212 million. So that's how it works. So you kind of want to make your decision. You want to get that guy signed, and you want to get it as long a deal as you possibly can. The downside is there's an expense for breaking up the marriage early. I mean, you see that all of the time.
I think, like, Fuente's buyout remains fairly substantial.
$15 million the first year.
Well, first year. I obviously it should be that in the first
year.
Yeah,
but it's like $13 million the second year. I mean, we're talking a lot of money.
A lot of money. That's what I was getting. Yeah, I mean, the first year, obviously. Second
right.
year, still, I mean, I think kind of steep. I think by year three, it's still like $9 million.
Right.
You know, so it's.
And if he decides to leave after two years, he basically repays Virginia Tech back his salary for those previous 2 years. So, I mean, if magically he was the best coach ever, and let's say he won you two national championships in the first 2 years, and then he decides he wants to go, I don't know, walk on water, he's going to give you all of the money back that you just paid him to win two national championships. I mean, that's a terrific deal. So I think on both sides, it's a really solid deal. It's just very, very difficult when you see the dollars. But we know this. There are programs that pay over $5 million a year.
Well, I like what you said about the chain reaction. You know, now with UVA coming open, and they're looking, you know, if Mark Richt is their guy, can they pay him what he is used to being paid in the SEC? Because we speculated that
he won't sign for 3.2.
Right. And but we speculated that Virginia Tech would go upwards for four
if they
a
had
year
to, yeah.
if they had to.
Yep.
So where does UVA go with their next coach?
I would tell you he's easily a $4 million coach there. I mean, if you want to take him off of the shelf, he's got a 10-year, I would call him a 10-year lifespan left on him. He's going to sign a $6 to $8 million deal, and he's going to command $4 million year one because he understands if he goes somewhere and gives them another 3 to 5 years, he's going to be less miles. He's going to be considered used goods at 62. So he is going to command that dollar as long as spots continue to stay open, right? So this is we understand how negotiation works. It's who blinks first and how bad do you really want it. So – I mean, I know that I was on record, and I think a lot of people were, that I thought he would be a great hire. You know, Mark would be a great hire for Virginia Tech, but he certainly would be a terrific hire for Virginia, but it's not going to be at $3.2 million. I'd be shocked at $3.2 million.
Well, that's assuming he would want to go to – or he would – yeah, he would want to go to UVA. And then who was the young guy from Notre Dame?
Oh, it's Mike Sanford Jr.
Well, they're not going to pay Mike Sanford $4 million.
No, so
well,
that's the whole deal.
He's not going there now. Well, at least according to reports out of South Bend, he told his players and recruits that he's staying at Notre Dame. But just my question though is this: we don't know, we haven't known
what Miami pays
its head coach or its former head coach, because they're a private school, they don't have to disclose that information, or it's not easily accessible. I think it's safe to say that that UVA is going to pay more than whatever Miami could offer. And at this point, we're just kind of operating under the assumption it's Miami and UVA. That's not necessarily the case. We're just hearing today that he was at Miami. Schlabaugh says he will interview with UVA. And so if you're a coach like that, having made all the money that you have, right, and you're 55 years old, who knows, you got 10, 15 years left to coach. There's talk he might want to retire right now, though.
Right.
Is he chasing money at this point? It doesn't seem like it. If he's talking about retiring, he's got no reason to chase money.
That's right. He'll chase lifestyle. Charlottesville has a great lifestyle, but just because you chase lifestyle doesn't mean you're going to get it cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll still say, yeah, I really like it, but in order for me to go, his wife, I know, is finishing up the nursing degree, or I believe is what was going on, and he said he was going to become, the stay-at-home dad type deal. Well, that sounds great, but someone charges and gives you $4 million, UVA has a hell of a good medical center there. She can go to work there all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And so why wouldn't he go there? But you're going to pay me $4 million to break my promise. Don't discount things like that as far as what UVA has to offer as far as a package and a lifestyle. No different than Virginia Tech had to offer as a lifestyle to our new coach. So those things
matter, exactly.
They do.
It's a good point, because it's not all just about the salary and the perks of the contract. I mean, these people are, they're actual humans, with goals and aspirations and lifestyle requirements and lifestyle goals.
Or do you not want a horse farm next to Tom Cruise? If you do, then you can come to Charlottesville. Supposedly he's got one out there.
Seriously?
I think so. Somewhere in that vicinity.
Is this like fourth-hand information that you got from someone?
I drove by it one time, and I think someone said that was Tom Cruise's.
Really?
Yeah, it said Top Gun Ranch on it or something like
that. Shut up, Welton. I'm not serious.
I'm serious.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
He makes terrible movies, but that's really sweet.
Yeah, I think he does have raises horses out there. I reserve the right to be wrong, but some gooner told me that was it. He did. He was like, I said that Top Gun Ranch. I said, that thing is sweet. There's all these horses. Oh, yeah, that's Tom Cruise's. I feel like
Keith just coined a new term that we're going to start using.
Gooners? Gooner. Yeah, I'm probably not going to steal that from him.
Yeah.
I'll let that one go.
I've been using that for years.
Have you?
Yeah.
We like
Gooners.
It.
You can have it.
Can I?
No.
Okay. Are you
going? But I do believe that there is a horse farm out there.
Okay. Are you going to Tech Northwestern tonight?
No, I'm not. I'll be coaching my
That's right. You'll be on the sidelines.
But I will be catching the game on the radio. I have enjoyed all of the games actually on the radio so far. I'll go on the Radford. I know you're going to have the coach on tomorrow.
Yep.
What excitement that is as far as so right now with taking my kids out and about and everything else. I will talk about this. There is a financial benefit to actually having some good teams. I'm able to every single night catch a good ball game on the radio, on the local channels, right? And you're catching them. And that game last night, and I was going from one rec center to another rec center and then picking up karate class and everything else with all the kids. But I'm able to catch the game, come in the last 2.5 minutes, throw it on the radio at the house. It's excitement. Now, of course, they fell short, but that's some compelling radio right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, kudos to the athletic program on both ends.
Mostly to us for airing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Christian's clapping for us here in the studio. All right, Keith Welton's Ameriprise Financial in Radford. AM Hodgepodge is his show. You can listen to it Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on our sister station, WFNR, 710 AM. Who's on deck this week?
Two things. So, we have a local business. BT's is actually going to be on there. Good little story. We're going to talk about that. There's some background. But we do have something going on right now. We like to talk about beer on that show. That's kind of an overriding theme. But we do have I know you can't give anything away on this, but we actually have a competition going on right now. So go to the AM Hodgepodge Facebook page and answer that question, because if you can answer that question, you'll be contacted to be part of the in-call studio game show that we're going to host And we've got some fantastic prizes.
All right, there it is. Where can they find you at Ameriprise?
202 3rd Avenue in Radford, 639-5153 is the number. Or you can certainly just look us up on the web. Just look up Keith Welton's Ameriprise Financial, and I'm digging this chair.
He is
he's sitting really high up above us right now.
We're all like regular table level, and he's sitting up like bar stool level.
Yeah,
he's looking down at us, which I'm sure he loves.
I'd be able to sit and wax the top of my van at the same time.
He is the weirdest person alive. It's Keith Welton's Ameriprise Financial. By the way, we got a guy writing in says it's Robert Duvall's ranch in Charlottesville, but I don't think that's right. I think Duvall's in like Northern Virginia, so it might be Tom Cruise.
I was told.
Some gooner told you.
I reserve the right to be wrong.
Okay.
And I might be right, though.
It'd be the gooner that was wrong.
That's it.
So, all right. Later, man. Let's take a break. We'll come back. 5:35, David Teal, Virginia Sports Hall of Famer. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7. Oh, my goodness, y'all. We have all the Twitter questions to answer. All of the Twitter questions. First one from Glenda in Pulaski. She says, why won't Christian cut his hair?
Oh, well, I just sort of made a decision that I'm not going to cut my hair until the wedding.
Yeah, there's no Glenda in Pulaski. I made that up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's a nice
That was awesome.
I made it up.
A nice name.
Right?
What made you think Glenda?
I don't know. First, it was, I don't know. I thought
Walking
like,
Dead, Glenn. Oh. We haven't talked Walking Dead on the show in a while.
Yeah. What a terrible finale.
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
So bad.
Mid-season finale.
It's horrible.
Are you mad that they do that? I'm pretty upset.
Well, at the same time, though, it does allow you to not have to wait a full year for the show to start again.
Yeah.
You know, like Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like that. So on that side, I can appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Greg Bluestein. Bluestein, who is a political reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the newspaper in Atlanta, just tweeted, Mark Richt is being recruited to run for Georgia governor in 2018. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding right now. So now he has to choose between Virginia, Miami, and the governor's office of the state of Georgia. I'm not kidding, y'all. If you don't believe me, go look it up. Greg Bluestein at the AJC. This is the first line of the story. If Mark Richt decides not to return to coaching, some Georgia Republicans are eager to guide him toward more rough and tumble sport. The outgoing University of Georgia football coach is being recruited to run for Georgia governor in 2018, according to two people with direct knowledge of the efforts.
That's ridiculous.
I'm going to go ahead and say that he's probably not going to run.
I'm going to go ahead and say that he is going
to
run.
Uh-oh. Why would you want to run? Why would you want to run for office?
Because
with all that
that's
money?
A guy who thinks he has a higher calling than football. That's why he's talking about retiring in the first place. I'm not saying you'll win. I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm not saying they even have a plan for this. I'm just saying that's a guy who thinks he has a higher calling than football, and I could see him running for governor.
I'm not,
and that's why they want him to run for governor.
Sure, that's all great and good. And this is completely personal for me. If it were me, politics is the last place I would go if I was done being a head football coach and had millions of dollars. No. I'd find another way to give back. I don't care about politics.
I don't care about politics. Because politics is stupid. That's basically what Danny wanted to say.
Yep.
That's fascinating. If you don't believe me, go to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution website. It's right there, plain as day. The Georgia Republican Convention, the Georgia Republicans are trying to recruit Mark Richt to run for governor in 2018. So now we see it.
It's pretty gnarly. That's pretty cool.
I can't speak on his political prowess. I know nothing about it.
We've done basically a whole show about Mark Richt.
Yeah.
Have we not?
Well,
it kind of feels that way.
Yeah.
It kind of feels that
way. If it wasn't for Keith Welton's, man.
Yeah.
Where would we be?
And we also
didn't reference him.
Yeah. We also won't talk about Mark Richt very much, if at all, with David Teal coming up next. So just, you know, take some consolation in that. Also, we got the Fighting Gobbler listening up in Indianapolis. He writes in, he says, outside of Richt, who could UVA realistically get that fits that bill? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't think Dan Mullen is completely out of the question for them, just because everything that I've heard would indicate that Dan Mullen and his wife, who are, I think the family's in Pennsylvania, but he's part of that New Hampshire mafia, so New Hampshire's not anywhere close to Virginia. But that he wants to get back closer to home and he's not a Mississippi guy long term. I could see it from that standpoint. Plus, Virginia has money. They could pay. I don't know. Outside of Mullen, I do think it's a guy like a Troy Calhoun or a Jeff Brohm or something like that. It's got a lot of potential, but it's not an extremely attractive job in terms of being near the top tier right now because the fan base is so apathetic. There's not a winning history there. I just UVA fans have a lot to be proud about, a lot to be proud of with respect to their athletics department. There is no disputing that. Even the biggest Tech fan who hates Virginia has to come around and admit that. They have an incredibly successful athletics department. That said, sometimes UVA fans are really delusional about the history of that football program. The biggest win in the history of UVA's football program was a regular season win. And they always, the primary retort is either A, yeah, but, you know, we won 23 national championships in rowing and horseshoes and other things. It's like, okay, good. Like, that's awesome for those kids that won those, but it's convenient that you only care about those when they win the national championships because you sure as hell aren't watching them when they're not. And it's either that response or it's, well, we were ranked number one in the country in 1995. Were you? Okay, cool. You were ranked number one in the country for a week. So was Missouri with Chase Daniel when they were in the Big 12. No one cares. No one even remembers. It's my job to remember, but most people don't, and I forgot about it. You know, the biggest regular season win, or the biggest win was a regular season win, and they haven't been to a bowl game in 8 of the last 10 years. You have an apathetic fan base, a culture that doesn't necessarily value football there. So I think there are some hurdles, but there's also a lot of potential. So it's a middle-of-the-pack job right now for that very reason. It can be turned around very quickly into an elite job, a la Stanford, and the way that Duke is headed right now, despite the finish down the stretch. So I don't know. I'm not sure who else could be there right now that fits that bill, but it will be interesting. Brian said, isn't Missouri looking as well? Yeah, Rick's not going to Missouri. I don't think Missouri's an attractive job. Like, I don't think it's that attractive a job.
Which side of the SEC are they?
East.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not the West.
At least not the West.
It's not the West. But if you're a recruit, okay, with McElwain now at Florida, okay, Tennessee hasn't gotten there yet, but Butch Jones is doing nice things there, I think, personally. You got that.
Florida.
Georgia.
Well, you said Florida.
I think Georgia's going to make a hire that's going to be attractive to people. Even Mark Stoops at Kentucky right now has momentum, kind of, sort of.
Their uniforms are cool.
They are. They do have cool uniforms.
Yeah.
They do have that. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think Missouri's all that great a job. So, Mark Richt is most certainly not going to Mizzou. He's not staying within his same division. He's not going to the middle of the country.
Right.
He's not going to be landlocked at Mizzou. It's not happening. And then we just got Jonathan who keeps tweeting at me proof that Robert Duvall's got a horse farm in Charlottesville.
Is he sending you pictures?
Nah, it's like links that I haven't clicked on, but I'm sure that's what it is.
I just imagine him, like, army crawling, like, under fences and taking pictures. Told you.
Told you, dog. Yeah, so I mean, you got Jonathan
totally,
doing
I got
that.
Arrested, but told you.
Oh, I forgot Brandon's questions. He says, what is Fuente's role allowed to be with Dwayne Lawson or Brendan Motley right now? Can he start offensive dialogues and playbook stuff? May not be realistic since they are preparing for a bowl, but just wondering if they could get a head start on next season. I think the answer is with Lawson, I think so. You gotta run that by Frank, though, and that staff. I don't know. I would tend to believe that that's got to be okay. You have two quarterbacks right now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I do. I don't know the answer to that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I do, but I'm leaning towards the fact that they wouldn't be able to, because remember what he said in the press conference yesterday? The last thing he wants to do is get in the way of anything. And I know Dwayne Lawson and Brendan Motley aren't the starting quarterback right now, but still, you know, you don't want to step on Coach Beamer's toes while he's getting ready for his last game. But at the same time, I do understand, because, you know, next season and coming up in the offseason, you got to decide who's going to start a quarterback. And we've both agreed that it might benefit Brendan Motley to take his fifth year elsewhere. He might be able to find some more success somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, he graduates. He's been in one offense for now, I guess, going on 4 years. It would make sense to me. It would make sense to me for Motley to transfer.
It makes sense to me too. But at the same time, we don't know what the kid's thinking. Maybe he loves Tech and wants to stay and battle Dwayne Lawson for the starting quarterback.
May
position.
Very well happen that Boom. Way. And he yeah. may love the idea of playing for Justin Fuente. He may want to battle for that job. You're exactly right. The one thing I do see though is I'm telling you, you watch Lawson on the field this past year in spring practice, especially. That's a man among boys out there. And I'm talking about the guys he's come in with, the underclassmen. He looks the part, big arm. And Paxton Lynch was a 6'7", big-arm quarterback that Justin Fuente turned into an NFL draft pick, and a high NFL draft pick.
Yeah, when we were talking to Chip, that's who I asked him about Paxton Lynch and Dwayne Lawson and how that would work for him. And, yeah, that could be a scary – along with all the other talent that Tech has on offense already. McMillan, and the backfield is going to be deep as heck. If those guys – if Marshawn comes back and Shy McKenzie comes back – That'll be a great backfield. They go along with Isaiah Ford, Cam Phillips,
yeah,
Bucky.
Let's go to break. Oh, by the way, Dave says you didn't know that Lonesome Dove was filmed in Charlottesville. I swear, ask my buddy Tommy Lee Jones. I don't even know if that's true or not. Was Lonesome Dove filmed in Charlottesville? I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't think I've seen Lonesome Dove.
We have Dirty Dancing.
Got that Mountain Lake. But have you seen Lonesome Dove? I haven't. No, I don't think. No?
Is that an animal? I don't even know.
Ooh. I feel like you might have just made some people mad. All right, let's take a break. David Teal is up next. He's awesome. He's smarter than all of us, and he's going to tell us how awesome the Fuente hiring was and who UVA should hire. That's what he's going to say, I promise. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7. Welcome back to the clubhouse. Here in the McAdoo studios, Kyle Bailey, Danny Noakes, and Christian Four. It's Tuesday. It's rainy. We appreciate you being with us. Whether it's your commute home or just hanging out at home, hit us up 639-4900, the Phillips Real Estate Hotline, or 888-639-4900 if you're outside the listening area. Also, send us an email, kyle.bailey@cumulus.com, danny.noakes@cumulus.com, and you can find me on Twitter at TheClubhouseKB. Every Tuesday, we talk to a Virginia Sports Hall of Famer from the Newport News Daily Press. David Teal is back on the program. Follow him on Twitter at @DavidTeal@DP. Good afternoon, David. How are you, sir?
Well, Kyle, how about you?
Well, a little bit fatigued, I guess, relative to the rest of this job. It would, you know, big couple of days. Frank Beamer and company get the Commonwealth Cup win. There's a new coach hired. Press conference yesterday. A lot of excitement around Southwest Virginia right now. What did you make of yesterday's festivities?
I thought it came off about as well as Virginia Tech or Justin Fuente or what Babcock could have hoped. The new coach hit all the right notes. As they often do. I mean, introductory press conferences are about as optimistic an event as you can have in sports. But yesterday was even more so, because how many coaches are fortunate enough to take over a program? Now, granted, the Hokies have been down for 4 years now, but they've qualified for bowls 23 consecutive years. I mean, Jimbo Fisher got that gig at Florida State, but in recent history, there are darn few coaches who have inherited a more solid foundation than Justin Fuente does.
I think Fuente making $3.2 million in his first year, it escalates all the way up to $3.65, makes him the third highest paid coach in the ACC. Is that about what you expected?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the job market we're in today, Kyle. You have to pay to get someone to come to your school if you're a Power Five and the coach has options, and clearly Justin Fuente did. And soon he'll probably be in the middle of the pack of ACC coaches. You know, there are more vacancies to be filled, and raises will kick in, and bonuses, and retention clauses, and you know, by the end of the day, he's probably not going to be top three. So, you know, some schools will pay even more for a coach who only has 4 years coaching, you know, head coaching experience. I thought with Babcock and Virginia Tech cut themselves a pretty good deal.
Well, I want to go back to something you said a second ago, and that was, you know, taking over a program that's in pretty good shape, all things considered, and certainly relative to the way most job transitions go. What is, to your mind, the one thing that needs to be addressed first and foremost if you're Justin Fuente?
I think if we listen to him carefully yesterday, the impression I got is recruiting. I mean, that has to be first and foremost. That starts this, you know, the first couple weeks of this month, now that we're in December. You know, there are some commitments out there that are shaky in the wake of the coaching transition. He's got to try to firm those up. He's got to try to find some other players. And he's also got to start to develop relationships around a new state for him, and that's the Commonwealth of Virginia.
David Teal, Newport News Daily Press. Follow him on Twitter at @DavidTeal@DP. Can a marriage between Justin Fuente and Bud Foster, a guy who wanted that job and made it very clear that he did, can that marriage last a long period of time, to your mind?
Bud Foster appears to think it does. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important, and clearly Justin Fuente does. and we'll see how the dynamic works. I mean, if I'm Coach Fuente and Bud is willing, it's a no brainer to at least try. I mean, it's a nod to the past, and you're inheriting one of the best defensive coordinators in college football. I mean, it's pretty much of a win-win situation. And, you know, Coach Foster, yes, he wanted the job. I give him credit for putting aside his ego and his disappointment and saying, this is a place that's been good to me for 29 years. I've been pretty darn good for it. Let's see if we can keep it going.
Do you expect Bud Foster's agent will continue to take phone calls, though, this offseason with so many openings and more to come as the dominoes fall? Do you think he'll take more phone calls about interest, though, for Bud Foster being a head coach elsewhere?
A head coach? Sure.
Yeah.
A defensive coordinator? No.
No.
If he's going to be a D.C. next season, it's going to be at Blacksburg, in my mind.
No doubt.
Now, head coach, Bud has been picky, to say the least. Will he be as picky now? We don't know that. But if his phone rings and if he still wants to be a head coach, absolutely, he ought to listen.
I'd agree. All right, Davey, let's go up a little northeast in the state here. Let's talk UVA as Mike Sanford Jr. evidently told Notre Dame recruits and players that he's sticking around next year. We've heard that line before, but it seems to be substantive to some degree. Now, we know that Mark Richt is a top UVA's wish list, at least in the fan base's perspective. But there's the Miami connection. Now reports he's actually interviewing with his alma mater, Miami. Where does UVA turn? Is it Western Kentucky? Is it the Air Force? What are you thinking here?
Well, I think, first of all, on Mark Richt, there are so many conflicting reports. It's hard to tell if Mark Richt still wants to coach next season.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the Atlanta papers, they seem to believe that he's going to take at least a year off. Is he listening to Miami just out of courtesy to his alma mater? That's a case down in Miami of, no offense, but that's the inmates running the asylum down there. I just think it's a bad job, and the expectations are completely out of touch with reality for those who want to run a reasonably above board clean program. It's just, I wouldn't touch that job if I were a coach. But where does UVA turn now? We talked last week, and I gave you the name that made sense to me, and that's Troy Calhoun at Air Force. He's got NFL background. He has ACC background. He's got Jim Grobe pedigree. Jim Grobe is a UVA graduate. He's wanted Air Force. He's an offensive guy, which clearly UVA needs. To me, there's a fit there. You mentioned Western Kentucky, and Jeff Brom is a former quarterback, and I believe he would have been the starter in the Gator Bowl against the Hokies had he not gotten hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have that right. The infamous Marcus Vick, Elvis Doomerville stomp game, and the Hilltoppers are playing for the Chiefs championship this week, and maybe that explains part of why there may be a delay in UVA's search here in the next few days.
David Teal, Newport News Daily Press. Follow him on Twitter at David Teal at DP. Is a Troy Calhoun hire or a Jeff Brom hire going to satisfy that faction of the UVA football fan base that's still there, that's still coming to games, that's still reading the message boards? Is a hire like that going to satisfy and inspire those people, to your mind?
I think the only thing that's going to satisfy and inspire those people is results.
Yeah.
What they most wanted was change. And they're going to get it. They should have gotten it. And now, will the change agent produce? And, I don't know who the preferred candidate after Mark Richt is among fans, but whoever it is, it's going to have to be proof. You're going to have to show you can go out there and win. And once they do that, then perhaps the paying customers will return. Absent that, there's still going to be a ton of empty seats at Scott Stadium.
All right, David Teal joining us on the program. A couple quick things, we will let you go. I want to quickly turn my attention to basketball. It would appear London Perantis will be out tonight against Ohio State with an emergency appendectomy. You expect the guy to come back and to still have a fruitful season. It's much less about him tonight than it is about this team. What has been your impression of this Virginia team? All things considered, despite the George Washington loss, they're scoring a lot of points. What have you thought?
What is it about UVA and emergency appendectomy?
Right.
I mean, come on, guys. We got to get the team doctor on this. Something in the water up there. But now, Virginia's, what is it now? Five straight games in the year, four straight games in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Scoring the ball like they never have. And, sure, part of it's shot clock driven, but certainly not all of it. And since the GW game, by the way, GW is undefeated, at least last I checked. Not a bad loss on the road for the Cavaliers. It won't hurt them at all come Selection Sunday. Props to Tony Bennett for playing the game. But even without Perantis, the way Ohio State's been struggling, you have to think that Virginia's going to prevail this evening.
What about UVA relative to the rest of this conference right now? Because North Carolina had the setback with Marcus Page. I think we all agreed Duke 2015 is not Duke 2014. And I don't know. Syracuse is probably a bit better than some people thought they'd be. What do you think about UVA relative to the rest of this conference?
Still top three or four, contending for the regular season title and being in a top 10 national program. And if you're that, come March, you have a chance to be in Houston. I expect nothing less from this team.
David Teal, Newport News Daily Press. Follow him on Twitter at David Teal at DP. One quick thing. I want to circle back, and I meant to ask you this. It was on my mind, and I didn't get to it. Just the Miami job you were talking about earlier. I know you don't think it's a great job, and a lot of people feel that way. But what about the Butch Davis stuff? Can they really rehire a 64-year-old Butch Davis? Can they do that?
I guess they can, but I guess they're just trying to appease a certain faction down there by interviewing him, Kyle. But after what went down at North Carolina and what has transpired at Miami in the past, how you can go there is beyond me.
I don't understand it. I just don't get it. But and maybe they won't. Maybe Rick decides or has a change of heart and doesn't need to recharge his batteries. But I see disaster coming if they do, in fact, rehire Butch Davis. So anyway, David, we kept you long enough. We appreciate it, man. I'll see you very soon.
Sounds great, Kyle. Thanks, man.
David Teal, Newport News Daily Press, a Virginia Sports Hall of Famer. Follow him on Twitter at David Teal at DP. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7. Welcome back to the clubhouse. Here in the McAdoo Studios, Kyle Bailey, Danny Noakes, Christian Ford wrapping up the show. What are you doing tonight, Christian?
Oh, man. Tonight I'm probably going to watch some NBA action. I don't know.
All you do is watch the NBA.
What are you talking about? Of course. I'll probably watch Kobe, honestly.
I can't. I'll cry. I'll cry like a small child.
You keep saying that.
Like a little baby, I'll cry. If I watch him, I can't. I can't do it. I was weeping like an old lady at a funeral when I was reading that letter from the Players Tribune. I wasn't, but I thought about it. It was just, it's rough, man. It's sentimental. And he's so bad now.
He is. He's horrible.
He airballed that potential game-winning three. It's just, I don't want to watch it. Why would I want to watch that?
Just because it's got the NBA logo on the front of it.
But what's crazy now is that I want to go see him play before the season's over. I want to go catch him somewhere like Charlotte, Atlanta, D.C., somewhere like that. The tickets will be outrageous.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Already are.
From here on out, yeah. Ticket sales are going
to
be crazy.
Outrageous. So if anyone wants to, let's start a Kickstarter campaign for me to go see Kobe. And
go fund it? Or in that
GoFundMe, Kickstarter,
yeah,
go something. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll just try to, or Keith can just bring us in another lottery ticket and we'll just be fine. We could do it that way.
Just keep winning.
Or I could just sell my hashtag Justin or Justin Fuente t-shirts.
That was
do that.
A good idea.
It was a good idea. We'll do that. All right, let's see what's on TV tonight.
What's on tap?
All right, it's a whole lot of college basketball. Maryland Eastern Shore is taking on Georgetown at 7 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. And then also Michigan is taking on North Carolina State on ESPN2 at 7 o'clock, also at 7 on ESPNU, Northwestern, and Virginia Tech That's on ESPNU. At 7:30, college basketball, UVA, Virginia, is taking on the Ohio State University on ESPN. At 8 o'clock, NHL hockey action. The Wild are taking on the Blackhawks on NBC Sports. Excuse me. And 9 o'clock, more college basketball. Miami is taking on Nebraska on ESPNU. Also at 9 o'clock on ESPN2, Purdue is taking on Pittsburgh. At 9:30, Maryland is taking on North Carolina. That's going to be an amazing game on ESPN. And wrapping it all up at 10:30, NHL hockey action. The Penguins are taking on the Sharks.
Tip of the cap. Go.
Yeah, I know you tipped your cap to Kobe yesterday, but I also would like to tip my cap to Kobe because the way he did it was, I don't know, it's just commendable. He did sort of a really cool, like, deer basketball thing. But yeah, man, I won't remember Kobe for 38-year-old Kobe. I'll remember Kobe for 18-year-old Kobe that absolutely diced up defenses, including Michael Jordan.
More like 26-year-old Kobe. 18-year-old Kobe airballed every other three.
No, he didn't. Stop.
He kind of did. He kind of did. He was awesome. I mean, he was jumping through the roof, but at 18, he was kind of rough around the edges.
When he dunks on your head, see if you don't tip your cap to him.
Fair enough.
I'm going to go to the other Los Angeles team. The Clippers beat the Portland Trailblazers last night. DeAndre Jordan had himself a game. Got to the free throw line 34 times. Ready for his free throw shooting percentage? 35%. 12. He shot 12 of 34 from the free throw line.
That's good.
He had 34 free shots, and he hit 12 of them.
It's bad.
Well done, DeAndre. I didn't think that was possible.
All right, I'm actually going to tip my cap to Ben Roethlisberger, who said today that he feels good 2 days after reporting concussion-like symptoms to the team in Seattle, but the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't ready to throw him back in the lineup just yet. But aside from self-reporting, the most important thing he did was urge fellow players to do the same thing, to self-report concussion-like symptoms, and that's going to go a long way, I think, I hope, towards guys doing that and preserving their long-term health. So tip of the cap to Ben Roethlisberger. Great show today. Big thanks to Mike Barber, David Teal, and of course to Keith Weltons. We are back tomorrow. Should be a whole lot of fun. We'll talk to Mike Jones, Andy Bitter, Shane Beamer. So make sure to tune in for Danny, Christian. I'm Kyle. Keep it safe on the roads. You keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.